It is Wednesday here at the Where Eagles Dare podcast, and we are coming off yet another win for our beloved Philadelphia Eagles. So for the seventh time this year, before we get into talking about it, let's let the music play. It doesn't get old, I can guarantee you that, to hear that song. And every time we do, we play it after every single victory. We play the Eagles fight song. So seven games, seven times we played that song. So we're glad to be back on a victory Monday / Wednesday. If you're watching us on the live stream, we want to thank everybody who's watching us on Facebook Live, YouTube, or Twitch. Thank you for being here. We also want to say hi to all our regular podcast listeners. The numbers are growing. We want to thank you for listening to us, whether that's on Spotify, whether that's on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or so many more. Glad to have you. If you have any questions or comments for us, feel free to chime in on the chat on the live stream. We will be happy to talk about what you got going on. We got a lot to unpack because the Eagles have a game on Thursday night. So we're going to do a double episode tonight. We're going to try to keep it kind of low-key. We're trying to keep it under an hour. We'll see. We're going to recap the win over the Steelers, and then we're going to talk a little bit about their Thursday night matchup with the Houston Texans. So with all that being said, Tubby, another Sunday victory, 1 o'clock at the Link against the Steelers. This one probably, you know, a weak opponent, let's be honest, but probably their most dominating win of the season, without a doubt. I would say probably one of the most dominating. What are your thoughts on Sunday's game against Steelers?
You know, this was one of the games that answered a few questions that we had. So one of them was, you know, could we score at this point in the game? Could we score at that point in the game? And we checked off a lot of boxes, man. Still, you know, and we also left some more questions with, you know, stopping the run. But we'll unpack, you know, a lot of things. But overall, a very solid win. Definitely our most convincing win of the season, for sure.
I agree.
Yeah, man. So just a nice, convincing win. Can't wait to get into it, man. It was a hell of a performance, man. You know, in Philly. Oh, man, birds flying high. You know how I feel.
Exactly. 7-0. Who would have thought to start the season that this is where we would be at this point? And, you know, regardless of how you feel, how they got there one way or the other, we're going to talk about today. Are the 7-0 Eagles actually for real, or is it the schedule? Because we've been hearing a lot of stuff in the media. But before we get to that, let's talk about what they did to the Steelers. First of all, Halloween weekend. So you got to love it. The all the different costumes that were out there. My favorite costume that I saw this Halloween weekend was the A.J. Brown. Oh, it was one of my favorite. The details inside the package was an elite wide receiver who's always open, and he's swole Batman. So if you didn't get your A.J. Brown costume from Spirit Halloween, you were missing out because he went off. Let's just say that. Also, another great costume was the Jason Kelce costume that was out there.
I didn't see that. Jason, I didn't catch that one.
On the right is Jason's legit costume, or, you know, what he wore to the game a couple of weeks ago. Wore the flip-flops. And the t-shirt's Elaine Johnson shows up with the bag, the shirt, the flip-flops, it all. Great stuff from Lane Johnson. You got to love it when the guys do that.
Oh, man, that's pretty cool.
But here's another one of Kelce. This is after the game. He said it. He promised us that he was going to be Fat Batman after one of these victories. And he, for Halloween, he decked out and was indeed Fat Batman. He lifted up his jersey, had his gut hanging out over his shorts, wandering around after the game. And so you got to love the spirit of this team right now, especially on holiday. They're all business when they started the game, but after the game, they got to enjoy a little bit of what was going on. And let's just talk about it. 35-13. The Eagles beat the Steelers. Granted, like I said, Steelers had two wins on the season coming in. They were struggling. They were starting a rookie quarterback from the draft, Kenny Pickett. The whole team itself looked like they're searching for an identity. So the Eagles could have, if the Eagles would have lost to this team, like we said in the pre-game last week, it would have been kind of a really big blow. We would have had a lot of questions to ask if you lose to a team like this. But they not only won, they scored 21 points in the first half and then scored another couple touchdowns in the second half. Some really amazing drives, but here we are, 7-0. This squad is only one win away from all of their wins totals of last year. So they're sitting here at 7-0, one win away, and we're just getting to the midway point of the season. It's unbelievable. If you're an Eagles fan, you're truly loving this season right now. So, right. And talking about the Steelers, now the Steelers are 0-9. In their last nine matchups in Philly, all the way back to 1966. So I have a friend of mine who is a Steelers fan, and last year when the Cowboys whooped on the Eagles, her and her boyfriend, who is another close friend of mine who is a Cowboys fan, decided to send me a picture of them pointing at the scoreboard on their TV and laughing. So believe it, she got this meme sent to her directly after the game. Like, I wouldn't send any more of those pictures of scoreboard to me for a while, because Eagles, we own the Steelers, just literally own the Steelers. It just, there's no two ways about it.
Yeah, man. Especially when they come to Philly.
Yeah.
Specifically. But the, I know we can say they're a bad team, but being a good team, you still have responsibilities as well, too. You still have the responsibility to convincingly beat a bad team. So when you go into a game, there's always something to prove. Prove you can beat a bad team badly, you know. Can you, if you play a good team, can you keep up with them or can you beat them? We beat the Kings of the North right now in the NFC. We have the only loss on their record, the Kings of the North. So we've also proven that we can beat a good team as well, too, convincingly. So it's responsibilities, man. No matter what, this is what we've already kind of proven we could do last year, though, because we beat the teams that were below 500
right
last year. We were able to take care of teams like that last year. This is nothing new. This is the 10th straight win for Jalen as a starting quarterback. I mean, that's pretty awesome, you know, in general, man, that he's rolling, man. He's rolling. So yeah, man, that, you know, 10 straight regular season wins. I think that's the most right now, especially as up and down the league has been, and considering the Eagles are undefeated. So yeah, man, that, you know, that's a hell of a accomplishment for them, man. You know, coming into this year, having so much, I don't want to say so much to prove, because, you know, Jalen has proven a lot already, but you want to continue to grow as a player. And he's shown that he's continuing to grow as a player. And this was probably one of his most complete games that we've had, with him not needing to run the ball all the time. You know, him just being able to just win another way. We've shown that we can win a lot of different ways this year. Running the ball, mixing it up. This was more pass heavy. When we came out from the jump, I was like, man, we're throwing the ball a lot. I think our first nine plays, six of them were passes. And you go, all right. But, you know, the first thing we wanted to do was get that stop, man. Every time I see it, okay, Eagles are getting the ball second half, I go, all right, man, it's a key stop. Because last year we were giving up points on that first drive. And I know a lot of times, you know, the Birds would trot out there and they would be down 7-0, man. So I really liked the way they started the game on offense after a key stop, and then, you know, getting the ball and driving down, man. What you think about that first, how the Eagles came out and approached the game?
Well, you know, you always worry about Gannon's defense. That's what I say every week. That's the only thing that really scares me, is what is he going to run? What is the scheme that he's going to do this week? And it didn't matter, because Hassan Reddick just tore Kenny Pickett's feet out the ground with the sack right there on the first drive that just destroyed their opening drive. The Eagles, on the other hand, get the ball And it was one of those methodical drives again that Jalen Hurts tends to run. When he is calm, now there's times where you can throw blitzes in his face, try to rattle him, but it doesn't matter if he's in this calm leadership type demeanor. He's going to make the plays. He sees everything. And anybody who slags on him, they're not watching these games and they're not paying attention, because it was so key on the fourth down play, fourth and two on that first drive. Here they go right out the gate, coming across midfield. And what do they run? Now, normally in a fourth and one, you know what we're going to run. We're going to run a quarterback sneak. Right. But they run the RPO. And they have Goddard leaking out to the left. There was so many options for Hurts to go to. And Goddard was just wide open. Put a throw where the defender couldn't knock it down. It was a little low, but it was only where Goddard could get it. Goddard makes the play, and it extended the drive. And the touch that he put on the first ball to A.J. Brown, splitting the defenders. How many quarterbacks just wouldn't even throw it there when you got Minkah Fitzpatrick in the corner underneath?
Yeah.
And he threads the needle between the two of them. It just, he trusted in his wide receiver, trusted in AJ. And it was just a thing of beauty. I mean, this ball right there between the two of them, just a thing of beauty and a great catch.
You know, looking at this play, I think it was Jaworski was breaking down the play, and he was noticing, he was saying that, I think it was Fitzpatrick, Minkah was flat. He's like, normally you don't want to throw to a safety that's there. You don't want to throw it inside. You definitely want to keep it outside. But he was like, Minkah was so flat that he just kind of threw it up and gave it a shot. Like, you know, let me see, you know, my guy is better. And, you know, it was a dime. You know, they call dimes ball 30 yards or more into a tight window for a completion. Check, check, check. Man, that was a hell of a throw and catch. But this is what, you know, this is what a lot of good receivers in the league have. I'm going to just run down the list. When you've seen Aaron Rodgers having some of his best years, he also had one of the best wide receivers, a dominant wide receiver. You see him without that this year, and you see the difference in it. I can go on and on. I just want to use that as an example of when you don't have, you know, take Mike Evans out of there for Brady. He's been such a safety net for Brady. When you have a big-time receiver – shoot, when Antonio Brown was up there at the Steelers, you get what, and then when he leaves, right, how much of a dip, you know, Juju and the boys, they did okay, but it wasn't like when Antonio Brown was there, when you had that top receiver, you just look different. And why not Jalen? You know, why can't Jalen have that top receiver, that go get it guy? And this is what you're seeing with a guy like A.J. Brown, man. And this is, you can see Jalen have better games because he has better players.
It's true.
You know, so, you know, Randy Moss made quarterbacks look great for years that weren't great because he was that much better than everybody on the field, man. You have special players. So, you know, just that first play was just throwing it to a special player. And he came down with it easy. He didn't fall down. He just snatched it. It's my ball. Too easy, and that was the start of a hell of a day. It really was.
It was, you know, and like you said something earlier, you said that, you know, this team last year beat the teams that they were supposed to beat the bad teams, but struggled against the good. And I think that's leaked into the media perception of the Eagles. But this is a far, far different team than last year's team. Because even against some of the bad teams, they were in dogfights, except for maybe the Lions in the middle of the season. They struggled with a lot of teams because they had Devontae, who was putting up numbers, but they had really no one else. Rager was doing absolutely nothing, as we talked about all last year. Their running game was the one thing that they leaned on, but that's, like you said earlier, that's not the case this year. We're winning games all different types of ways. We said it during the pregame last week. We were like, we don't know who's going to be the star. My friend was like, should I start Miles Sanders? I'm like, dude, I don't know, because I can't tell you what the Eagles' game plan is going to be week to week. One week it's Devontae. One week it's screens to Goddard. One week it is running the ball. One week it's Jalen Hurts scrambling. And the thing is it's by design. It is Shane Steichen and Nick Sirianni are formulating a game plan by design based on the opponent they're facing. They knew going into this game, it's not a fluke that they were dropping dimes to A.J. Brown. They knew they could get those plays in there. Right. And they even went for it in the second half, and Brown dropped one, or it had knocked out of his hands. Mm-hmm. Or he could have had four just as easy. And yeah. They had the cutback run that could have been four for A.J. So they knew.
He had five in the yeah. He said the sun got in his eyes on the back shoulder one.
Yeah.
He said he looked back and just got blinded by the sun. He's like, I could have had five.
Yeah.
That's scary.
and so they knew going into this game that they had this. This was what they were going to run. And they were just biding their time. Devontae came up big with some great catches underneath. He didn't, he wasn't doing anything down the sidelines, but he was solid over the middle. Goddard, again, is extending plays, extending drives. Sanders, when they needed the big run, he was there. Oh, and you just can't say enough about it. The only, the only downside was coming off their first touchdown, the Steelers' second drive, Gannon went into that mode, and I was texting you and lamenting it. I'm tired of the playing the deep zone because you can't cover you can't cover the underneath throws because you're playing so far back. And so the Steelers, that was their whole game, was they were throwing 5-yard passes and getting into third and shorts, and it was really putting the Eagles in a bad spot. And we let them. You didn't even stop them on the first drive. After their second drive, technically, because the first one they went three and out. Second one they just came down the field. And I was like, why did we switch the aggressive defense to go into this zone mode? We're only up 7-0. I will say though, the Steelers did have a couple more drives like that, but Gannon's defense did the bend but don't break thing and hold them to two field goals. After that touchdown, they didn't let him back in the end zone after that first quarter touchdown. It was still, it wasn't 100% make me feel good. It was the players were really making plays because Gannon, to me, his scheme still is not as good as it could be. He does seem to get more aggressive once a team starts moving the ball against his soft zone. He will switch it up, and I do appreciate that. At least he's not totally locked into it, but it doesn't work. And we've watched it not work the whole season. And it's like the only time that I ever worry about the Eagles is when they play in the soft zone on defense. But yeah. That being said, Hargrave came up big with a sack. Rasan Reddick had a sack. They were on Kenny Pickett all day. They played contain on him like they did Kyler Murray. One sack they had in the second half where he tried to leak out, or it might have been right before the end of the first half. I think it was right before the end of the first half. He tried to leak out. They ended up settling for a field goal. And the Eagles, they had him caught in that pocket, and they just closed the vise, and there was nowhere he could go. Tony Romo called him sticky. They stick together around that outside. And I appreciate that because the defense really came up big for Gannon. I don't think he gave him the best situations, but they played out of their heads against a team they should beat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely should beat them. And even on their first touchdown, just talking about the defense and how well they played overall, we don't have that bonehead play from Graham.
Oh, right.
Where he simulates the snap count. Yeah. Just putting it all out there, right? So we get down there. We do stop them. They're lining up for a field goal, business as usual. And penalty, they get half the distance, and they go, hey, do we got a 1.5-yard play? I go, yeah, I think Claypool could throw it to Watt. Yeah, okay, let's do that one. And, Claypool sucked them right on in, and then boop, right over the top to Watt. Watt, it was a solid play, but, you go, man, this game shouldn't be tied. Oh, boy, here we go. But that is the difference between this team, this Eagles team this year, because we get the ball right back, 11 plays, 79 yards, touchdown. A.J. Brown, another – they put together a solid drive. That was a 7-minute drive from the Steelers. And then we come right back out with our own 11-play drive and then ending it with the 27-yarder to A.J. And, I like that we kept it. Our third and shorts were short, third and two, not the third and sevens. I think that's why we had such a really good drive, man. Damn, I'm just looking down stats right now.
The only time they had one of those was if it was a penalty. They had the one time where they had the illegal formation and then the hold and then the sack. And it was like the Steelers did get to Jalen a couple of times because Jalen wasn't going to force it. And I'm fine with that. It learned to fight another day. But that was the only time the Eagles, maybe two or three times during the game, that they got caught in a really bad third and long. And then they just let, you know, hey, let's just punt and move on to the next drive. So you're right.
Right. So, yeah, man, we get the game right back in hand, you know, where we go, oh, man, we just made a bonehead mistake. The offense comes right back out there, picks the defense right back up. Boom, another 7 points. And, you know, that's where that football is complimentary goes, where it goes, all right, man, because, you know, the defense had to be hanging their heads a little bit, knowing that they gave up 7 there when it could be 3. And then your offense goes right back out there. Not in a few drives later, not next half, right back out there. 79 plays, you know, I'm 79 yards, 11 plays. So it even gets you guys time to regather, you know, as the bonehead mistake. But, you know, it was Graham anyway. He's a veteran. Then they go right back out there in 3 and out him. You know, you just a complimentary part of it. So we got you back. Boom. They go right out there. 3 plays, 1 yard. Boom. Punt right back to the Eagles. And then, you know, we didn't do anything with it as well, too. But then another 3 and out, you know, got them
two straight back,
3 and out. Yeah. You know, to just, that, and we just started complimenting each other really well this year. And I think that's been the difference, man. It's like, you know, the offense can put together a drive, get a defensive break, where it was a lot of 3 and outs last year. Or our defense was on the field for so long at times, the offense could get out of the rhythm and the defense would just be gassed. So then when you go out there and you have another 3 and out, you've just been on the field for so long. Now you can't defend, and it looks even worse, especially when you're playing like a shell coverage, man. So
yeah, definitely.
And just, you know, sticking what we do in the second quarter.
Yeah.
You know, another 14 points in the second quarter, another, you know, touchdown to A.J. Brown, man. And that was just beautiful, man. I mean, those two passes were lasers. I mean, those were absolute dimes. The third one was pass interference. You texted me that second one was just, I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a dime, and having AJ's wide body to shield those defenders, it makes everything just look that much perfect because you can't go over the top of them. You have to go around them, man. And the ball was just, it's wild. When I texted you, I was like, it's well drilled, man, because that's just boot. He sees where the safety is. Ha, gotcha. And I just know where to throw it, where I know you won't get it. You know, I may throw it too far. Hopefully I don't throw it too short. But I know you won't get it, and it was probably the best ball he's thrown all year, man, especially from deep, because now you're scoring plays. We're doing something else. We're scoring plays outside of the red zone, not going all the way down and getting pushed in for 1 yard, man. So just putting up 21 points again in that first half was super key for us, man. Super key.
Yeah, you know, it is – it's unbelievable, and there's just the numbers for A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts. 19 of 28 for Jalen, 285 yards and 4 touchdowns. That was the first time that he'd had 4 passing touchdowns in a game. He's had 4 touchdowns in a game, but not all passing. And 6 receptions for A.J. itself, 156 yards, 3 touchdowns. Like you said, could have had 5. It was unbelievable performance. And, yeah, the one that was almost pass interference or should have been called, but they didn't, was the defender had his arm draped on AJ, but he's so strong, he couldn't pull AJ's arms down. He's draped all over him, and AJ still hauls it in. And then the third one was just the pointing, you can't stop me, and you can't stop me. And I have no problem with that one. They 3 straight touchdowns, he's allowed. He's allowed to go ahead and do the taunting. So, yeah, it was.
In one half. Yeah. This is a half of football. This is one half. And it was perfect. Like, it wasn't like he forced it. Those guys kind of came down and was spinning like tops.
Yeah.
And he was just pointing. They looked like they got sunned. Like, he looked like Batman out there. Yeah. Just a couple of assailants. You know what I mean? Like, he looked like Batman out there. Like, you can't stop me. You can't stop me. I loved it, man. Even when they did the
stump the yard.
Stump the yard. Then, you know, I'm like, man, I know this went over a lot of people's head, but I was like, yo, that stump the yard is, I mean, that's how you know you have a loose locker room
as
well. you know, guys are just chilling, man. Did you see Jalen doing the gritty
with Kelsey?
You want to do it? You want to do it? Come on. I mean, that's when life is good. Yeah. When you're doing the gritty with your center. And that's when you know, and your center, who's, you know, a very serious guy, but, you know, still a professional, but still likes to have fun. He's doing it with you. That also lets you know that you're on your game. He respects you enough to do it, to go, yeah, let's have fun for a second, because I know that you're going to click right back in the gear. So, man, just, you love it, man. You love to see it, man.
When you're winning, you have great chemistry anyway, but this team has had it from the giddy up there, that you could tell in the locker room how they feel about each other, the way they got each other's backs. And what I love was Jalen Hurts said after the game, he's like, you've got one day to enjoy it. Let's party. But then we get right back to work, because it is a short week. We're going to Houston and we got a lot to do. I love this this statement that AJ made on his and Jalen Hurts' chemistry. Speaking of chemistry here, after the game, he said, I think we just want to be great. This is somebody that I call a friend. He knows what I want to accomplish and I know what he wants to accomplish. When you're playing for somebody that you love, who you call family, it's a different meaning behind it, and I know I can't let him down. We're just having fun and playing for one another. I'm pretty sure he knows that I've got his back, and I know he's got mine too. I think that's exactly what this is. Wow. I mean, this is it, what we just said, from the statement of what we see this team doing. A.J. Brown said succinctly in that statement that this is what this team's about, and so people can slag on it all they want. This is one of the dominant teams in the NFL right now, and you got to live with it. So that's all I got to say. And they had a great game, and you could say all you want about it being the Steelers. It was a phenomenal day. And for all those that doubt Jalen Hurts and want to slag on him, only one quarterback in the history of the Philadelphia Eagles has won 10 consecutive starts. His name is Jalen Hurts. 10 consecutive regular season starts. And also, one of the things to think about is this is a stat that is probably one of my favorite of the game. Jalen Hurts, when blitzed versus Pittsburgh, 12 of 19, 169 yards and 3 touchdowns. That's what he
has against the blitz.
The 8.89 yards per attempt are the best against the blitz this season. And this is what I talked about with Jalen and his ability when he can stay calm. Now, we've had moments where you know, he can get a little erratic in some of the games. The Dallas game, you know, a couple of times there where he just didn't seem comfortable because it was a big game, a lot to take in. He's getting these under his belt as far as experience. But the defense kept giving him the ball back, and then he shined. But most of the time, when he is calm and in command, you can't beat this guy. He has got the eye of the tiger, if you will, that he wants to win. So, you know, coming out of the half, you know, briefly to talk about the touchdown, the Zach Pascal touchdown can't be overlooked. It was a thing of beauty because of Jalen knowing his options on the field and being able to react to him quickly, that Pascal was wide open down the sidelines because did not cover him. They were covering AJ and Devontae and Goddard and leaving Pascal alone, and he made him pay for it. It was nice to see Pascal get one. We've been saying all season, let's get him the ball.
He said it just coming into this game. I think we may have said it in the preview. You know, can we see one of the, as Shaquille O'Neal calls him, the others?
Yeah.
Can we see one of the others? You know, we know Goddard is going to get 5 catches a game. You know, Devontae, 4 to 6 catches a game, and AJ, can range from anywhere. But what about the other guys? You know, he tried ones in Watkins, that didn't work out. But man, that pass to Pascal, man, was a thing of beauty, man, because like you said, he just knew right where to go. Oh, you guys gonna come down on Goddard? Silly. Boop, right over the top. And it was a perfectly thrown ball. Catch it, boom, right in stride. He didn't have to, because the blitz is on. You know, the pressure is right there. Right. So he has to make 2 decisions. And for him to go right to Pascal, which is probably the number 2 decision anyway, unless he comes all the way back around, because Devontae is on a post coming back across the field. So that's like probably 1 here to Goddard, 2 to Pascal, 3 is probably Smith. But he knew once Pascal broke off, It was a perfectly thrown ball, man. It was just one of those next things to see. And it's what we talked about all the time is, can we score when we get the ball back after a half? You know, it was, there it is. You know, it's first thing text. Like, there it is, because we've gotten the ball so many times this season, starting the second half, and we've gotten almost nothing. So to not only put together a solid drive, put together an impressive drive, an impressive throw, Pascal's right there on the dime. Got Sanders going a little bit in that drive as well, too. Sanders has that big 21-yard run.
Yeah.
Right? So here we go. We wake up, you know, something that we weren't doing as much in the third quarter as we were in the fourth quarter, where we would run the ball. Remember that little highlight, like power nat? We didn't take that power nat. We ran a power run.
Exactly.
And Miles Sanders broke for 21 yards, man, which then now AJ has three touchdowns. Miles Sanders just broke a 21 off on you guys. Who else could they throw it to? Wait, there's more. You hit up Pascal. And I think at that point, you knew the game was too much for him at that point. Like, dang, we just scored like that on y'all coming right out of the half. Whew, y'all in trouble, man. And I really felt good from that point forward of the game, man. Just with that one throw and touchdown for 75 yards, made it look nice and easy. Miles looked really good. And that really set the tone for, like, the rest of the game.
It definitely. Getting into the fourth quarter and just having, another big play by AJ when he cut back on the reception. It's going to the right. It cuts back to the left. He almost gets in again. He gets tackled at the 11. Sanders comes in is basically untouched into the end zone. Sanders got his TD. My friend that I told him not to start Sanders, I'm sorry. I told him to start Mostert because he was playing against the Lions. And I'm like, look, I told him that because I didn't know what Sanders was going to do. By that point, then what I love to see was you take out the starters and bring in Minshew and the backups and Boston Scott and say, we're going to give these guys rest for the fourth quarter, the rest of the fourth quarter, because we can, and we got a game on Thursday. And, and Houston had to play that afternoon. So any little bit helps. And I know people say, oh, Houston's 1-5-1. That don't mean anything in the NFL. Look at what happened Monday night between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cleveland Browns. Did anybody think that poor, lowly Cleveland Browns, who have one good player, really, on offense in Chubb, and Jacoby plays okay, but let's not say Jacoby's not going to win the MVP anytime soon, do what they did to Cincinnati. Now, granted, Cincinnati didn't have Ja'Marr Chase on Monday night, but Burrow has players. He just got done throwing for 460 yards, for crying out loud, against Atlanta. And I have him in fantasy. And he killed me because the Cleveland defense rose up at home to take a game. So the Eagles know this, that no game is a given. So stop throwing 1-5-1 in our face. We don't want to hear it. We got a game Thursday night against an NFL opponent at home that just lost another game that they're not happy about, that have a beast running back in Pierce, and we gotta get ready for it.
While I have you on that, man, I just want to say I'm sorry, man, about your loss. I lost on that play as well. I mean, I my brother needed like three catches. Anyway, I was winning up into that 41-yard touchdown pass, but I didn't know the situation that you were in. When I opened my phone and I clicked on it, I kept looking at the numbers. I said, "Wow, 119.
Yeah.
Look at it again. 119. 0.6. That's too much to stomach, man. That's a gut buster there, man.
The worst thing was I was leading. I was leading. The Browns had won. I was leading by a point. And the Bengals got the ball back with one last chance to score some points. So I'm like, cool. Burrow will get a few more yards, and I can lock this thing away. SOB takes a sack, and I go from being 1 point up to 0.6 down. Bengals go for it on fourth down, don't get it, and now I'm done. And now the Browns keep getting first downs, and I go from leading the matchup to fantasy. That is how cruel fantasy football is, let me tell you. I went from being over a point in the lead to 0.6 down, and I lost. And I was just – it's just been that type of season fantasy-wise for me. But say that to say this. Cleveland went in there, and and definitely the big underdog. They were 3.5-point underdogs, and it is a rivalry of Ohio. But you can't take that any team lightly, and that's what we got coming up on Thursday. We'll talk more about that in a second. It wasn't all sunshine and rainbows for the Eagles on Sunday, unfortunately. It was not. We suffered a big loss. Our rookie phenom, the gigantic, look, I mean, it should have taken five people to carry him off the field. Jordan Davis, very high ankle sprain is the word. He's having an MRI. This is the guy in the bottom right of this picture is how we all feel right now. We know that it's next man up, and we've got a lot of talented players that can fill that hole. But, man, this guy is a run stopper. And going into a game where we need him against Dameon Pierce, it's like, this is not good. But it is the nature of the game.
I feared this, man. You know, when we drafted him, I said, you know, those big guys catch those injuries. And now he has a high ankle sprain of all sprains, man. You know, it takes skinny guys four or 5 weeks sometimes to come back from this, man. I know they just put him on the IR.
Yep.
So that's at least four games right there. But I expect this to be potentially 6 to 8 games because just how big he is, man.
Yeah.
So, you know, rest up, man. Luckily, we just picked up another guy in Quinn. So maybe Quinn can shuffle around a little bit. Really, really, really big loss, though, man, because he was just starting to really find his way and trying to do what we haven't been doing well, and that's stopping the run. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing, you know, as far as like some takeaways before we get into the Houston game and stuff, just two of my takeaways from this game was, one, we still haven't figured out how to stop the run. Some of those long run plays on like 1st and 20 or 2nd and 20, and they just break off a long run. Those are embarrassing, man, at sometimes. So when we know it's a running situation and we still can't stop them, that was pretty embarrassing. And you know, I know you mentioned earlier that, you know, maybe Jalen's not trying to force the ball, but on a lot of our second and longs, we haven't been getting those plays off, man. They just kind of been teeing off on us a little bit. So you still want to try to get maybe like 8 yards or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I was like, man, we getting second and long. I mean, sometimes we come out. I'm not saying this. You can't go 7-0 without completing any of them. But I just noticed, like, even in that game and the last game, I was like, man, we get in second and long. And they're really teeing off on us. So I don't know if we're not making, you know, running the right routes based off the defense that is coming. Because I know sometimes, I remember against the Cardinals where Jalen's getting hit and our guys aren't even out of their breaks yet from their offensive routes. They aren't even out of their breaks. Right. So it's like, who are you going to throw the ball to? So just figuring out those little things to take some of the blow off of it, man. Because then you go in that 3rd and long and then it just kind of, we do a little dump off pass and just kind of give up on it type stuff. So definitely, man, sacks on long distance, and we have to stop the ball
right,
a lot.
Right.
You have to stop the run.
You're right. You make a great point is that when we get into 2nd and long, like say we had the holding call and the illegal formation, you have to know that there's a blitz coming. You have to know that this is that, and Steelers did it each and every time they had us in a 2nd and long situation. You're exactly right. And so in those kind of situations, you need a play call where you have either throwing a screen, throwing a slant, like we've talked about before, get the ball out quick. Nothing to complain about too much. I mean, seriously, but you're right. That is a concern going forward that they have to adjust on that. And I'm sure that they're looking at that. But you're right. We gave up 144 rushing yards to the Steelers. It was not their best game against the run. Now, granted, in the fourth quarter, we had a lot of the backups in, but if you look at the rushing numbers here, Warren, who is the second string running back, was averaging 8 yards a carry and had a 19-yard run against us. He had 6 carries for 50 yards. Najee Harris had 8 carries for 32, and, of course, Pickett ran it 7 times for 37. But going into the Houston game where we're going to face a running back that's going to get the ball a lot more than 6 times a game, it is a concern that Jordan Davis has gone out and that we don't really have somebody to fill that hole. Hargrave's playing good and Fletch is playing good, but they're not really bottling up the run. They're not doing what we need to do. So it is going to be tough. But before we get into the Houston game, I do want to just show this stat here real quick. This is the NFC right now. You got Philly at 7-0. You got Minnesota, who's at 6-1. And they got Dallas and the Giants at 6-2. They both have a bye this week. Seattle, of all teams, at 5-3. And then look at this is just the NFC top teams in the NFC. Four of them are in the East. Washington down there at 4-4. Unbelievable stuff is where the Eagles are sitting there and undefeated amongst all those teams.
And two of them we beat.
Exactly. So this came out by Torrey Smith. And I got to say thank you very much, because Emmanuel Acho and so many others, Emmanuel Acho is not the only media member to be doing this. All of them are doing this about the Eagles right now, and it's driving me batty. And Acho played for us, for crying out loud. No loyalty here. He puts the hashtag Eagles are as talented and dominant as any team, but I do wish their schedule was more competitive. Oh, do you, Emmanuel? This is somebody doing a hot take like everybody else is doing. He's not saying anything new. Torrey Smith, it comes back with a rebuttal. Their schedule is irrelevant. Winning in the NFL is hard, all caps. Try to lock down the number one seed and play two games at the link. Doesn't matter how you get to the playoffs. You just need your spot. Anything goes. All right, so now let's address the Eagles schedule and look at something, if you will. Here are the Week 9 power rankings, right? Eagles are at the top of, this is a CBS Pete Briscoe poll. Eagles are at the top at 7-0. They're the number one team ranked in the power rankings. Go all the way down the list, and you've got Dallas at number 5 at 6-2, and then you've got Minnesota at 4 at 6-1. The Eagles have beaten two of the top teams in the power rankings, and most power rankings are like this. Eagles have beaten the 4 and the 5 team in the league. Who has Dallas beaten? Who has Dallas beaten in the top 5? No one. They've beaten no one in the top 5. Eagles have beaten two teams in the top 5. Who has Dallas beaten on this list? What's the first team Dallas has beaten on this list? Let's take a look here. Go back to Baltimore, Seattle, San Francisco. Oh, they beat the Bengals, who are 4-4. The Cowboys have beaten the 11th team. All right, so now let's go down. They beat the 12th team in the Giants. So now let's keep going. Anybody else they've beaten? They've beaten the 17th team in Tampa Bay. Oh, and have they beaten Washington yet? They've beaten Washington this year. The Cowboys lost to Tampa Bay, so they've lost to the 17th team on this list. All right? So let's look at the Cowboys schedule real quick. Tampa Bay, loss. Cincinnati, the Giants, Washington, and the Rams. Where are the Rams on this list? 23rd. They lost to the Eagles. They beat Detroit, who is down. Where's Detroit? Now, you don't even see them. Where's Detroit?
31.
There you go. They beat Detroit, and they beat Chicago, who is 30. Now, is Emmanuel Acho saying how weak the Dallas Cowboys schedule is? Uh-uh. No one's saying that crap. No one. But yet, the Eagles are 7-0, and oh, I wish their schedule was more impressive. Shove it up your ass. That's all I got to say. And I say it right here on the podcast. I'm sorry for my language. If you don't like the word ass, shove it up your ass. Every single media member who talks about the Eagles schedule, shove it up your ass. Because this right here is your own power rankings. These are the teams that are out there. There is no one that is even close to 7-0 except for the Bills and the Vikings. The Chiefs are 5-2. So now let's look at the Bills real quick. Everybody, oh, the Bills. The Bills are great. The Bills are great. The Bills are great. The Bills are better than the Eagles. You can see it on paper. You know what? They said something about a certain New England team, too. You could just see that New England's better than Philly back in 2017. New England's going to kill them. Keep talking. All right. Let's look at the Bills real quick. They've beaten the Rams, ranked 23rd on this list. They've beaten the Titans and the Dolphins, who are ranked 6th and 7th on this list. Oh, they lost to the Dolphins. They lost to the 7th ranked team on this list. They beat Baltimore, who's down at 8, and they've also beaten Pittsburgh and Kansas City. And then they've beaten Green Bay. Where's Green Bay at? 19th, 3-5. But yet Buffalo is so great. They have not beaten the same amount of teams in the top 5 that the Eagles have beaten.
Yeah.
And they lost to Miami.
The point was made with, generally with the top 5, the teams that that the powers that be, whoever makes these schedules, or not schedules, whoever makes these rankings, y'all put two teams in your top five and they can't beat the Eagles.
Exactly.
They haven't beat the Eagles. How about that?
Just speaking
facts. This is just objectively, right? The Vikings got whooped by the Eagles. And that's your fourth best team.
And to be honest, so did the Cowboys. The Eagles let them back in the second half. They were destroying them.
Yeah, the Eagles handled the Cowboys. Your favorite son, Micah Parsons, didn't get any play until our guy Johnson went down with a concussion. But the two teams, like it's made really in the top five. We've beaten two top five teams. That's enough said, and we have to be one of them in there. So it only leaves two teams. So unless we play the Bills and the Chiefs this year, which seems like what they want us to, you know, have to do. But you know what exactly. I think overall, Lee, I think what it is, man, the media comes out in the beginning of the year and they prepare for what they're going to talk about this year. They have highlights and they've already looked weeks and weeks down the road and got storylines together for all of these matchups. And the Eagles kind of are busting everybody's bubble because they're kind of messing things up for everybody. Because it's like, man, had we prepared to speak about the Eagles, we would. But it's like, we weren't really prepared to speak on you guys. All our notes are on the Chiefs, the Bills, the Cowboys, the Vikings if they were playing well, in Green Bay if they were playing well, LA if they were playing
exactly.
well.
Exactly, and Tampa Bay, they're still hung up on the Saints and the Rams and the Buccaneers as being the best team. Right. No one knows when this season starts who are going to be the top teams, and you're exactly right. But, you know, they did this crap in 2017 when the Eagles started off great with Carson Wentz. They doubt us. They doubt the Eagles. They've been doing it since the turn of the century, since 2000. Eagles dominated the NFC for four straight years, and they still weren't ready to accept it. And granted, they didn't win a Super Bowl in that first part, but the Eagles still keep coming back and winning divisions, going to the playoffs. They still didn't accept it. In 2017, they were underdogs for every single playoff game. And no one in the media predicted that they could win it. And it wasn't just because Wentz went down. And there were more than just Wentz. They were more of a solid team than that. But nobody was willing to accept it. And what did this team do? They went back to the playoffs 2 years after that. And still nobody gives them credit or respect. I'm to the point where I normally don't talk like this because I don't want to jinx my team. That whole stuff of being superstitious. But I am literally tired. I can't even watch these shows anymore, these news shows, because it is like the Eagles are undefeated, but shove it up your ass. I'm telling you, because you could do this with any team and look at all of their schedules. You could do it with the Giants. You could do it with the Seahawks. Look at all of their schedules and look who they played. They've played one or two good teams, and the rest have been all on this right side of the column. It's just the facts. Go look at it, people. Look at it for yourself. The Eagles have played two top five teams, and they've beaten them both on this rankings. And you could say, yeah, the Vikings are pretenders. Well, they're not. They're 6-1. What's your team doing? And I told somebody the other day when they were trying to say, well, the Eagles, they're probably maybe the second or third best team in the NFC. Well, tell me who is better. You tell me who is better, and I'll tell you how you're wrong, because there is nobody, at least in the NFC, that's better than the Eagles.
Right. There's no evidence to support
what
they're saying.
No, we, like not I said, at all.
We beat the Vikings and we beat the Cowboys. Those are the two teams that everybody were ready to crown.
Yeah.
You know, ready to have Justin Jefferson on every commercial, ready to have, you know, just the Cowboys in general and Micah Parsons on every commercial. So, look, Pete gets it. My buddy Pete here. I can't see his
Prisco.
First name.
Pete Prisco. Yeah, from CBS.
Oh, young Pete here. It's obviously on the job. He gets it because a lot of people even this week still had the Bills rated high.
Yep.
And whatever, man. I will say this. The Bills had some tough games too this year. Baltimore blew that game against the Bills.
Yes.
You know, I'm not taking anything away from the Bills. They won that game, but Baltimore were in control for the majority of that game. The Dolphins dominated them the majority of that game. I mean, obviously won the game as well, too. So And now, look, see how fast they are to crown the Dolphins, the 5-3 Dolphins. I get it. Most of that losses were with Tua injured.
Yeah.
But just because they made the big trade and got Chubb,
which is huge,
all of a sudden, Super Bowl. I mean, man, it's so easy just to crown anybody other than, and I don't even want the people to crown the Eagles.
No,
I'm not even tripping off of that. No. But it's just the, I just think the media, man, like I said before, they just preface everything before the season even starts. Like, and then when you bust a bubble, it doesn't happen. I'm sure they had storylines for days about Las Vegas, right?
Yep.
Right? With Devontae Adams and Derek
Denver.
Carr.
Denver.
Right? Denver. Storylines for days, and these teams open up and don't do nowhere near close. Las Vegas was like 0-3 to start the season. You know, Denver were like 1-2. You know, just rough starts, and you just go, uh-oh. You know, we have nothing to talk about. Then Denver comes out. I'm sorry. Green Bay comes out and immediately lose to the Vikings. And then you go, ugh. And then you see how lowly the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are. And it's just like people aren't concerned with who's winning. They're concerned how many clicks they can get and how much drama. And people know, you mentioned Cowboys, is going to cause a lot of drama. But the Buffalo Bills could get upset this week by the New York Jets, man. Those sneaky, sneaky, sneaky New York Jets. But probably if they had Breece Hall, be a little more confident.
Right.
But Zach Wilson was hot dogging it out there this week. He was hot dogging it. He was throwing picks off his back foot.
I know.
He was
hot dogging it. It was bad. It was bad.
Anyway.
But to finish it up, Jason Kelce put it best in 2017. No one likes us and we don't care. Yeah. I have to say that I'm not acting like I don't care. I do care from the standpoint of disrespect. They don't have to like us, but you damn sure better respect us. And I tell you what, I don't want them to crown us champions right now. Anyway, I don't want people believing us because disrespect is a massive motivator. And I want this team to stay motivated all the way through to the playoffs. And I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl. I'm not crowning them. I'm saying right now, for what they've done, show them some damn respect, because they have not done anything different than anybody else in the league that's winning. And they've done it better. So if you're going to sit there and spend 40 minutes on the Cowboys ESPN, you better sure as hell give the Eagles some respect, because they beat your beloved Cowboys. I don't want to hear about Dak wasn't in the game, because we already talked about that. Their asses were booing Dak Prescott week one when he was losing to the Tampa Bay. He struggled against the Lions. He struggled in most of the game against Chicago. The Pollard saved their ass against Chicago. Dak has done nothing for that team. You tell me what Dak has won in Dallas, and I will tell you, I can put it in my hand and pour it out, and there's nothing there. So let's move on. That's it. All right, so big game coming up. You could say 1-5-1 is not much of a big game, but it is. It's prime time. It's Thursday night. It's on the road. Philly at Houston, and the big story about this for us as Eagles fans is that Jalen Hurts is going to be going home. He played at Channelview High School down there in Houston. I've lived in Houston a little while. I like people in Houston. I have friends in Houston. I have family in Houston that like the Texans, but I want the Eagles to beat their ass. Eagles are 13.5-point favorites. Their highest spread so far this year. Vegas really thinks the Eagles are gonna win big, or they don't want people laying money on them. That's for sure. They're trying to scare people away from that money. and so this game, to me, it doesn't feel as much like a trap game as it did the Steelers, because coming out of a bye after the big Dallas win, fear of a letdown. I don't see that so much. The roster of the Texans doesn't necessarily scare me that much. But what does pique my interest is looking at their last five opponents. The Texans play people close. Now, granted, they let Vegas beat them by 18, but they were in that game for a good while. But they played Tennessee very close. Now, granted, Tennessee didn't have Tannehill starting, and they just let Henry run all over them. But they only lost to Tennessee 17-10. Lost to Vegas 38-20. They beat Jacksonville on the road 13-6. Jacksonville, I can't explain what's going on with them. They lost to the Chargers at home by 10, 34 to 24, and then they lost at Chicago, but only by 3. Now, we know what the Eagles have done. They beat Pittsburgh, Dallas, beat Dallas by 9, beat Arizona by 3 with the missed last field goal, beat the Jacksonville in the downpour by 8, and the last 5 games, then the last one is they won at Washington in dominating fashion 24-8. That's the only thing that scares me is that this team, you know, if we're given 13.5 points, they don't seem to lose by 13.5 points very much. They lose. The Texans lose. But they're a proud team and they're playing at home. So that's always a danger. It's always a danger.
You know, they play into our strengths. Last week they gave up 314 yards to the to Tennessee. You know, Derrick Henry had 219 himself, but they gave up 314 yards. They're the worst team in football with 186 rushing yards per game get allowed. Mm. That plays right into one of the Eagles' strengths. When our line is healthy, you know, this is barbecue chicken. This should be barbecue chicken. I mean, why not? Well, yeah. This should be barbecue chicken. This, you know, we're going up against, like I said, they can't stop the run. We love to run. Our guys love to run the ball. We don't mind it. You know, even though we looked real good only having Jalen run the ball 2 times last week, I really appreciated that. 2 times. I really appreciated that, man. So, yeah, man, I don't see why. They also, Tennessee started 8 rookies last week. So, you know, I think it was 5 on defense, 3 on offense. We know they have the rookie Singletree or something like that. And he's a rookie, but I don't think he's given up a touchdown this year. I was looking at some stats earlier. I don't think he's given up a touchdown. 1 pick, you know, about 5 knockdowns, but like he's their main dude out of LSU. They picked him, you know, their first round draft pick. So they do have a stud out there, but starting 5 rookies is something we should be able to exploit on both sides of the ball, but especially with how long our offensive line has been playing together. They should be able to move the Texans around a little bit, man. So I don't think this is a trap game. You still got to worry about Brandon Cooks. Yeah. You know, you still got to worry about Brandon Cooks and Willis. He's no slouch. He's just not a great quarterback. They moved the ball a little bit. Pierce, another rookie. I mean, who's having an incredible year. You know, he's having a similar year to Miles Sanders when you look at the stats, man. He's, you know, like player for player, he's having a similar year. So I think if we run the ball, man, I think we'll be fine against this team. Because we go on, I don't want to look past the game, but we go on to kind of a little another mini bye after this. So it's important to leave here healthy plus and win.
Yeah.
So, man, I just hope they don't get up for us. I just hope they remain who they are. Don't try to get up for us in particular. But 8 rookies, man, it's going to be a lot of – we should be able to trick them. We should be able to move them around. We should be able to do what we want with them, at least their defense, with them being so young. And, yeah, man, just go at – just tee off. Right. Just tee off. We haven't really teed off as much as late. It seemed like quarterbacks we've played have been a little mobile. No, you were trying to get to that stat right there.
No. We'll cover the stats. I've just been going back and forth. But, yeah, it's
– so maybe this is one we can try to tee off on against because they played Pickett like they played Murray almost. Just keep them in a little bit. They teed off that shot that Bram had on him.
Yeah.
Luckily, they had that holding call.
Right.
But Brandon Graham just came through and laid him out, man. Hargrave had a big sack too. But anyway, we're on to the
Texans. That was weird that holding call you mentioned. Bradbury had like 4 calls in that game. I don't know if maybe the official that was on him was just dogging him or what, but that was weird for Bradbury to get so many interference calls in that game, and it did take away a powerful sack. And that's, again, probably one of my biggest fears is how does Gannon play Mills? Because he shows quarterbacks too much respect. And Mills is somebody you cannot show respect to.
Right.
You need to be, if you really think, Jonathan Gannon, that Davis Mills is going to throw 60-yard bombs on a dime in single coverage on you, and you're afraid to blitz 6, then you're smoking something, Gannon. That's all I got to say. You have to play this like they played the Detroit game last year where they just blew it up. It was a blitz almost every down. And I'm not saying blitz every down, but I'm saying it should be heavy doses of blitzes in the run gaps. So that way you take Pierce out of the game and then you come at Davis Mills. It is a game, like you said. I think that it doesn't feel like a trap game. I feel like the Eagles are taking it seriously. But any game, especially on a short week on the road,
it is
a recipe for disaster. We know this as fans. So, you know, until it gets going, I'm just going to chill and watch it unfold. Because if you look at the league rankings, like I have up on the screen right now, all the bars are widely in the Eagles' favor. Points scored per game, Eagles third in the league at 28, Texans 29th in the league at 16. Points allowed per game, the Eagles 16.9, fourth in the league, Texans 17th in the league, 22 points a game. Yards per game, Eagles third in the league at 409 yards per game, Texans in 31st at 300 yards a game. Passing yards per game, Eagles 10th in the league at 260, Texans 214, 25th in the league. Rushing yards per game, again, Texans 92 a game, 26th in the league. Eagles 149.6, 6th in the league. Time of possessions, Eagles could get better at time of possession, but when you're scoring a lot and you're scoring quickly, I'm not too worried about it. They're 19th in time of possession. Texans 32nd in the league. A lot of three and outs on the Texans side of the ball, which Gannon has to take advantage of. Third down efficiency, the Eagles 4th in the league at 45%. Texans 30th in the league at 31.9%. Sacks, Eagles 6th in the league at 22 sacks. Texans 20th in the league with 15 sacks. And interceptions, this is the one stat that they're close. The Texans are 9th in the league with 7 interceptions, and the Eagles are 2nd in the league with 10 interceptions. So, yeah, that's interception is the only thing that we're really, really worried about at all. Is their defensive backs might, you know, get a little aggressive, like you talked about the one player there that hasn't allowed a touchdown. So, you're right. I think that they come out running the ball heavy. This is again, Shane Steichen and Gannon. What do they game plan for? They game plan for each individual opponent differently. And I think this is something that they have to look at where the Texans' weaknesses are. And you're right. They allow a lot of yards on the ground. This should be a run heavy game.
Yeah. Yeah. Super, super run heavy game, man. Because we can find other ways to win. We can air it out on them. I'm sure we can air it out. And if we can get them a couple, you know, more snaps off or away, you know, we still have a good second unit that can come in and play with anybody, you know. So yep, we still have a pretty stout, we're healthy right now. I know Davis did just get hurt, but overall we have depth, you know, and man, it's just, everything's just going right for the Birds. You know, we won this tough game, the close one against the Cardinals. You know, we beat a team convincingly that we should have beat convincingly. Can we do it again in a matter of 4-day, 5-day stretch, man? That's so brutal as an NFL player to have to get up and play again in 5 days after what they describe as it being like a car accident every play.
Yeah.
So it's pretty unbelievable.
So it was to the benefit that they did have a lot of the fourth quarter off. It really was. And they know what they're going through, and they're in Houston now. They're ready for this game. And it's just a matter of if they play well and they win, then they get the reward. They don't have to play again until the following Monday night back at home. And so they get to against Washington. We'll cover that game when it gets around to it. But we're loving the 7-0 Eagles. Like I said before, showed the stats on the schedule tonight. If you like the podcast, if you enjoy it, you can watch the replay and see how I justified how the Eagles schedule determines that they are for real. And you better accept it. That's all I'm saying right now. And just, if you missed it, you missed a massive rant, because it's ridiculous how they treat the Eagles in the media. You can look at everybody's schedule and find flaws in it. The Eagles are 7-0. They're beating the teams that are in front of them. They've beaten two of the top five teams in the power rankings. So shove it, NFL media. Eagles are for real. Game against Houston, again, I'm not guaranteeing a victory. I'm not guaranteeing a victory any week. But this team should win because we know what they can do. So we'll look forward to that. Thanks again for everybody for tuning in for an extra long show because we did our recap and then our preview. We will be back again, hopefully Saturday, to do our fantasy football and pick segment. We'll have that out there on the schedule. So if you want to know when we're going to go live again, you can follow us on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch, and you'll get notified whenever we do a live stream. Otherwise, if you just want to listen to the podcast, that's fine too. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and so many other podcast providers. If there is a podcast provider that you use that we're not on, let us know. And even if you just want to message us to ask us a question or have your email read out, if you're an Eagles fan and you got a comment, we'll be happy to do that as well. You can email us at our email address is lee.byrd, that's byrd.eaglesdare@gmail.com. Thursday night football. Texans, Eagles in Houston. At the same time, World Series. Houston in Philly for game 5 at that time. So that'll be an interesting night on Thursday night. So with all that being said, I'm going to roll it over to Tubby for his final words of the night.
Hey man, Eagles got to keep their eye on the ball. Man, appreciate everybody for stopping by. The Where Goes There podcast. Like, subscribe, anywhere you see us, man. Just go ahead and hit that like button, share it. You know, any Eagles fans out there, go ahead and send it to them as well. Short week. Hopefully we can stay focused, man. Go Phillies. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. Have a great week, everyone. Go Eagles Thursday night.